My name is Gibson. I'm an alcoholic. So, I'll tell you a little about my story. I grew up in a town right outside of Washington, D.C., in Maryland. And I feel like a lot of people, when they, you know, share a story, they said, like, there's something traumatic happened in their, you know, childhood. And for me, it was quite the opposite. Nothing bad happened. I had loving parents. I grew up a pretty happy kid, you know, and there was never like from what I remember, it just all seemed pretty good. And it's not even like I, you know, other people say like I always felt different. That's not even the case either for me. Like it may have just been ignorance, but I felt pretty normal, compared to everyone else. And I had three good friends in elementary school growing up, you know, who I was really close with. Middle school, my best friend at the time left to go to a different school, and that was uncomfortable, because I didn't really know who to hang out with. The other two people I hung out with, they just went to different groups, you know. So I didn't really have any friends. And I hung out with these people, and they didn't treat me well. I guess the terminology today would be gang bullied, but I remember just feeling like my parents gave me lunch money, and they would like, "Hey Gibson, we'll let you sit here if you buy me food." And of course I bought them food. I wanted to sit with them. I was willing to sacrifice my dignity for acceptance. I didn't see it like it that back then. That, you know, obviously I feel like I was still ignorant to, you know, really what was going on at that point. But I went through middle school, and it kind of sucked. And then I entered high school. And high school is kind of where it kind of just all kind of takes off. Ninth grade, I went to the big high school, and all my good friends had left. They all had, you know, I knew no one. I mean, obviously I knew some people, but I didn't have any friends. And I didn't know what to do. So the obvious choice was to escape it all and go to a private school. So I went to a school that had 60 kids in it. And I knew everyone at that school. That doesn't mean I was friends with them all, but I knew everyone, so I knew what everyone did. And I had heard people talking about, you know, about weed and drinking and stuff. But I had drank before that, you know, like, you know, just trying, you know, a little liquor or something, and it was disgusting. I was like, so there must be something better. So weed sound like a, you know, the next logical choice. So at the end of my ninth grade year, I was on the bus with this girl that was a senior at the time, and she was like, we were talking about drugs to an extent, and she was like, "So you smoked weed before?" I was like, "Oh yeah, all the time, yeah. I had never smoked weed before." Let's smoke sometime. She was like, "Cool, hit me up." And then, you know, like a week or two later, I called her and was like, "Let's hang out." And then I told my dad, "Okay, I'm just going, you know, I'm going downtown, going, I don't know, to Barnes & Noble or something like that." And my dad was like, "Okay, cool." I think he was like, "Why were you going to Barnes & Noble?" Yeah, you don't have friends. But I had, and I remember the feeling distinctly that on the bus ride over there, there was fear. There was fear, and that was like, I wonder what this is gonna be like. I've never done this before. But I was excited. I was really excited. And I went and smoked weed with her. And, you know, I could go into my first high story, but I don't know if that would be beneficial. It was, but I remember after it. And it was one of those experiences of, like, this is the greatest thing in the world. This makes me feel amazing. Why have I not known about this? And why am I not continuing to do this every day? So So it just kind of started, you know. I started smoking weed, you know. It's just the progression that everyone hears of, you know, a little bit. And then, you know, I was smoking. I was trying to smoke every day. I didn't always, you know. First of all, I was 15 at the time. Yeah, I was 15. I didn't have a job. You know, I couldn't buy weed. So obviously I stole money from my parents' purse. Or my mom's purse. And that wasn't, like, my parent, there wasn't enough there for every night, like, to go and get, you know, go get weed, so I had to be creative, you know. I started, you know, putting, you know, my ADHD pills up my nose, you know, and that didn't get me high, you know. It just kind of made me feel really focused and want to get shit done. Of the most attractive drugs now, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to get some homework done, you know? But I remember, and then there were, like, other things. I could just go to the store and steal Robitussin, you know? That, it's an awful high. It's the worst, but it got me high, you know? So, like, all these things kind of started to pile up. And I needed, and my parents started to figure out and started to catch on, and they realized that, you know, that something had to be done, so they signed me up for an intensive outpatient. And obviously the IOP didn't work too well because that's where I learned of spice. So I was being drug tested at the time, and so I couldn't smoke weed. And I didn't want to go through the whole thing of, like, having to time out the drug test because that sounded more miserable than, you know, staying sober. So I learned about spice. And obviously I was ignorant to that and didn't know, you know, what that was. I thought it was, like, weed where I could smoke that as much as I want. And I ended up at school and I smoked a lot of it, and I ended up overdosing, and had to, they called the ambulance, and it wasn't the greatest way to get kicked out of school by being taken out on a stretcher. I was, like, at that time, drinking was constant. But it wasn't, my parents didn't really know about that because it was easy to hide. Weed is a lot harder to hide because I was too scared to go out of my house, so I would just kind of, like, smoke out the window, and that doesn't work very well. So after that, I got sent to a wilderness program, and it was in upstate Maine. And I was there for 12 weeks. And I mean, looking back on it, it was great. It was a great experience, you know. I needed it. But that wilderness will not keep you sober. It doesn't. You're in the woods. You're not having real life experience. It's not a long-term solution. So I went, you know, I did the wilderness thing, came home, relapsed wilderness again, in the winter in Maine, which is miserable, as you can imagine. And then I got sent to a boarding school and got kicked out of there and came out here for treatment. This was almost a little more than three years ago. And so I was 17 at the time. And I treatment was one of the hardest things I had done, because I was, keep in mind, I was, you know, they could hold me there as long as I wanted, because I was underage. So I ended up going through treatment and being there for almost 13 months. And it was really, really difficult. But the thing that treatment center did was introduce me to AA. I had been to some AA meetings before, but hadn't really seen the benefit of it. It's like, this is just weird. This was the first time where I had seen people who were my age come into the program, who I still see in these rooms today, and talk to me, you know, and talk to us, you know, about staying sober. And so it was a logical choice. I went to transitional after that, and so I started going to some meetings. I went to the meetings that they brought us to, like the Foothill group, and I started doing that. I started meeting some people, and I got a sponsor. And then, I started working some steps, and started to just kind of slow down. I was happy with the fellowship. Just the fact that people treated me with respect and were nice to me and truly appreciated my company was good enough for the time. And I was okay staying in that place, not doing all three parts of this program. And I relapsed. It wasn't an awful relapse. It wasn't, compared to everything else, it wasn't that bad. And I was out for about 2 months and then came back, and I went to Wacky Pot Tucson, and that was my first conference ever. And this was a truly spiritual experience, where I was like, people are in these rooms dancing and having fun and enjoying people's company and not fucked up. And that scared the shit out of me. But I saw people doing it, and people telling me to dance with them and everything, and I was like, okay, I'll do it, even though I was incredibly scared. And at the end of that, I was filled with this spark. I was like, this is what I want to do. So I got back in, and I kept working with the sponsor that I was with and put some service in my life. Got service positions. And then I had my fellowship. That was still growing. And had that spark and wanted to keep going with the, with the steps, but didn't really go too far on those. It was work, and I don't like to do work. And so time went by, and, you don't do your steps, I didn't do my steps, so I ended up relapsing again. And this was even much shorter, but this was like two nights of drinking, at parties. And that was kind of cool, because I'd never been to a party and people were kind of cool and I was drunk. But then there were consequences to that. I lived in a house with my two best friends to this day, and they figured out, and I had to move out. I was given a month. And that was really difficult. I was scared and didn't know what to do. And I was definitely bummed out. I was like, okay, well, it seems like this could work. Me going to parties and drinking, I had fun. Nothing got really bad, Why can't I keep doing this? So I the plan in my head was move out of the house and then, I'll keep drinking. And then I went to UCPA this last year, and I hung out with some people and I really bonded with them and realized that, you know, on the way back, you know, it was a beautiful drive and just kind of started bawling. And I was like, this is really where I belong. And that was May 15th of last year, and that's been my sobriety day. And I knew what I had to do. There was no, like, question of, like, well, do I do this? No, I knew I had to do my steps, I had to get service, and I needed to, you know, build my fellowship. That I'd seen what I was missing in the past and knew what I had to implement. Got a new sponsor, you know, involved myself into rigorous service, and really, I did what I had to do. And so, fast forward a little bit, you know, and I'm working my, you know, 12 steps, and, you know, and I get to 4, 5, 6, you know, 7, though that, you know, that chunk. And I remember doing, you know, 5, 6, 7, and, you know, doing the prayer and doing the hour meditation after. And that I sat there and I got back in the car with my sponsor and I was like, I feel lighter, physically lighter. Because I remember every time I, you know, took a drink or smoked some weed, it would feel like, you know, the weight would, I, like, physically weight being taken off of me. And then, you know, and so when I felt that without drinking, you know, or using or doing whatever, you know, this was one of those things of, like, this is working. There's a lot of stuff I did in my steps that I did very wrong. You know, I you know, sat on my, you know, 4th step for a while. You know, I'm still somewhat sitting on my, you know, 9th step. But this program has really given me a way of life that I could never imagine. This conference right now has been the most spiritual conference I've ever been to. I am walking around the halls after, you know, the main meeting, and I see people, and usually I'm very, very judgmental, and, like, you know, just, it's easier that way, you know, to judge, you know, just to judge people. And but I'm walking around seeing people, and people I don't even know, people who seem like they're struggling, you know, and feel this extreme love towards them. And it's a feeling I can't even really describe, but it fills me with such joy and happiness that I could never expect from, you know, from using, you know. I believe that this could never happen from, you know, taking a drink. You know, I'm at a conference with people that are my age, and we're all having fun. But most of all, I'm with these people that have gone through the same thing as me. And in the end, that's a bond that that even if I don't know them, it's a bond that is, you know, that is bigger than really anything, you know, any other type of relationship you would have with someone, you know. This is not about the type of music you like, you know. This isn't about what movies you like. This is, you know, about the thing that we were dead inside, and we found a way out through the same program. And we know this. You know, I'm really happy, you know, to be here and, you know, and to share at least a little bit of my story. I feel like, you know, 20 minutes is not enough, you know, for me to really go in depth. But, you know, I feel like if I pass something on, that's, you know, I did my job. But, yeah, thanks so much. Yeah.